I can hold my beer as good as any man, and I'll dance and sing as long as I can.
Welcome to Rhythm and Brews, the monthly podcast where Luke and Andrew pointlessly pontificate about beer and music.
You've used that opening quite a bit now. Are you falling down to that one?
It's easy. It's easy. Okay. It's got some nice plosives just so I can do a good
sound.
Oh God. You just broke my microphone, Andrew.
I did, sorry.
Although we are pointlessly pontificating, but not matching beer and music today.
No, controversially. We'll come on to that in a second.
But we are here for episode 2 of season 3, or in real money, that's episode 65.
65.
We're getting proper. I think we can almost retire, can't we?
On what?
67, is it that we
all
can
the
retire?
Money we've earned from this.
No, I just meant age-wise.
All the glory.
Yeah, I don't really know how to start this. Do you know how to start this?
Let's get the spiel out of the way. Let's do that. You did it excellently last time.
Do you want to do it again?
No, I really don't. No, you don't. Okay, so this is a podcast where we match...
It's a podcast?
This is a podcast where we match music to beer. So the concept being that if you match certain tones, they can enhance certain tastes. So bass tones enhance bitterness, high tones enhance sweetness, spiky discordant tones enhance sourness. So if you're listening to something with those tones in and drinking a beer, it should enhance those particular flavours in the beer. Then equally, that's the neurological side. The experiential side is, can you capture the character or the memories or something about that beer in a song and put the two together, get the neurological and experiential tied up, and you've got a winning combination.
Hey.
That was very succinct.
That was good.
I normally ramble a bit more.
That was good. I only started to drift off right at the end,
yep.
So it was quite good. But, as I mentioned before, we're not doing beer and music. Well, we're not technically doing beer and music this month, because we have the lovely Tom from Gosnell's Mead. Gosnell's of London, right? Is that the official name, Tom?
I think that is the official name, but Gosnell's Mead is probably what most people know us by. Hi, guys. How are you?
Very good, thank you for joining us.
Very good, thank you for joining. I don't know if you know this, but actually we did a Gosnell's Mead on the very first episode of Rhythm and Brews.
Did you?
Yeah.
That rings a bell.
I think it was just called Gosnell's of London. I think it must have been your basic opening gambit.
The original.
The original, the 5.5%, as we call it. We need to get a better name for it. But yeah. And it's like a small brown bottle with a white label and...
Yeah. Back in 1997.
Now, when was it? So it would have been 2016.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Yeah.
So it's really great. I mean, you know, six years on, have you on the podcast.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking we've done them again. I think around about 2019, we did the Citrusy Mead.
Podcast, which
I really liked.
That was gorgeous.
I really liked.
Yeah. That is a fan favourite, actually. It's one of the more complex ones, but it's one of the ones that, with the commercial hat on, I keep trying to kind of slow down production of, and it just keeps getting made. So there we go.
No, I really enjoyed it. We're not doing it today, unfortunately. We've got three different ones.
So. Yes, we've got three, you know, great examples of what should be sparkling mead, right? Because we were just talking about this off air beforehand, that maybe what most people know as mead is not actually... controversially, really mead.
Well, I mean, we didn't send a bottle of this across to you, unfortunately, because we only had the one bottle. But we have got a bottle of Lindisfarne Dark Mead, which I picked up last year when I was in the northeast and went to Lindisfarne. But I think we said this before we started recording, but mead, to me, is one of those things you often find in a gift shop on a National Trust property.
100%. What I call castle gift shop mead.
Yeah, and I don't mean that in a bad way, because I bought this because I knew I would drink it at some point.
So, I mean, well, okay, so let's start at the beginning. Let's start even pre-Gosnell's. I mean, so how did you get involved in all of this mead business?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while since I told the story, but it's a really boring office job. As a hobby, I used to make alcohol. Right, as a lot of, you know, started off in that kind of way. I previously made cider with a friend down in Dorset, and he's got like a farmer. So we used to make cider every year, and it got, you know, when hobbies get bigger and bigger, and you know, they start off with a demijohn, and before you know it, you doing like 200 litres. Anyway, so that had run its course. And then I was working in London and sort of started to think about, quite like fermenting things. What should I be doing next? And I was actually in the US in the Northeast in a place called Maine Mead Works and came across mead. Well, I had obviously had mead before, but as you say, only the weird castle gift shop stuff, which is not the greatest example of mead in the world, I would say.
Just politely. Like a weird liqueur, right? Like that's basically what I feel like castle gift shop mead is.
Yeah, yeah. It's true. Because, well, I mean, I think it's like anything. If you bung enough honey in or sweetness in at the end, you can cover up all kinds of faults in it. Yeah. And you don't need, you know, you don't really need to make it in a very sophisticated way. You can just make it taste super sweet to sort of cover it up. Whereas the stuff over in Maine was still sort of wine strengths, but they had a whole range from sort of dry through to sweet. And it was much more of a wine type experience where you were looking at sort of the terroir of the honey, which they had the bees outside the city and they were, you know, whatever the bees have been eating, you get different flavors in the honey and then you get different flavors in the mead. And so there was a lot more going on. And I think that for me was what was really exciting about honey and mead specifically. You don't, you mean, you get it a bit in wine, but it's even more so in honey than grapes, that kind of sense of the place.
Because it's interesting, I'd like that, the reference to the meadery in the States there, because, you know, as part of doing some notes for this, I was kind of aware of the popularity of mead, or the high ranking of mead on Untappd.
Yes.
Is an oddity to me, because I did a quick, what are the top 10 breweries based on Untappd? 7 of them are meaderies.
Is that true?
That's bonkers when you think the number of breweries versus the number of meaderies. Yeah. Someone out there likes mead an awful lot to be rating it so highly all the time, regardless of who's making it, such that 7 meaderies are in the top 10 breweries.
I hadn't realised it was that many. I mean, I know the one I always come back to is Superstition Meadery, based in Arizona. And they regularly come really high up, and their stuff is amazing and is really exciting.
And then in Scandinavia as well, they seem to like mead a lot. That's very popular over there.
They do, yeah, they do. So there's these pockets of places. I mean, I wouldn't say the US is a pocket, but like there are sort of some markets where it's kind of more evolved. The UK is definitely not one of them. It's kind of a bit further behind, but we're doing our best to bring it back.
Yeah, because Gosnells, I mean, well, first off, let's just address the fact that, so you folks are based in London, right?
Yeah, we're Peckham way, so southeast London.
The honey and sort of crop epicentre of the UK, right? I mean...
Yeah, exactly. It's all just coming straight. No, so we do a few different things. So the cans that we're drinking tonight, they're... It's very boring, but because of the way the duty system works in the UK, when you're making mead, you either make it a 4%, 5.5%, or like 15%. There's no there's no in between. It's just not viable to do a 7 or 8% mead. So what we do, the 4% mead, is we're always after the same sort of flavours in the honey and then in the mead. So it's a repeatable product. So we blend a load of European honeys together. And actually the honey, did some DNA testing of the honey, and there's like about 45, 46 different plants and flowers in that honey. So we're kind of balancing out some of those different flavors there. But then at the higher end, we do like to work with decent, you know, good beekeepers. And actually we will then turn their honey from their specific hive into a special mead that tells the story of the bees. Yeah. We've got a series called our vintage meads, where we use the same hives each year. So there's honey from the same hives. And the idea is that you can kind of track what's been happening that year through the story of the mead, right, and what it tastes like. Ooh, so it's based up in Walthamstow, those hives. So there's a lot of development around there, a lot of changing scenery. So you can kind of see what the bees have been up to, what the weather's been like that year, what development's been going on, and that all affects the flavour of the product.
Oh, see, here I was thinking that you were actually, you know, you said working with the same hives each year. I fully just expected you to say that they were down in the southwest or like down in, even just, you know, down in Kent somewhere. But no, Walthamstow. I mean,
yeah. So I mean, we're based in London, so it's important to kind of draw that link. Yeah, pretty close to it. And actually, one of the cool things of about honey and mead is that it's a really good way of getting people to think about where things come from. Right?
Yeah. Oh, that's really nice. And I suppose I'm curious, because you mentioned that UK scene for mead. I mean, I don't know anybody other than Gosnells, to be honest. Apart from
I think I know most people are making mead in the UK commercially on one level or another. There are probably about 15 to 20 places making mead in the UK.
Wow.
Okay. Of various different scales.
I was going to say, when you compare that, though, to the amount of craft beer breweries out there, that is so small. I mean...
Yeah, it is. It's a drop in the ocean. And it's not quite enough, or there's not quite enough scale to have a community yet. I think there's still quite a lot of pretty small operators. Although, if anyone listening to this does want to set up a meadery, my email is always open. I'm always happy to help and support, because I think we need more meaderies.
Should we be going back to basics? So we've said mead isn't beer.
Yes.
Have we actually defined
what mead is?
What mead?
Oh, well, that's
is.
A that's
come on, Tom.
Question,
educate us.
So there is no legal definition of what mead is in the UK, which is which is one of those things that we're I'm working towards changing, mainly so we can get a different duty bracket. Yeah, because I love saving money on the duty. But no. So for us, and I generally lean on like a pretty standard definition, which is needs to be fermented from honey.
Yeah.
And fermented from more honey than anything else. So if you're putting fruit in there, or if you're putting, maple syrup in there or whatever, it just needs to be more of the fermentables from honey than anything else. And that for me is my definition of mead. Leaves it quite open to experimentation and lots of different styles, but it does need to be fermented from honey.
So you just need to come up with a word that is as catchy as Reinheitsgebot. Yes. So you can have that like law
definition.
Exactly.
The mead purity law, I think. Yeah. We definitely need that.
Just call it Gosnell's law or something.
There you go.
To be honest, actually, that sounds quite good.
Yeah.
Hang on, so it's honey, water, and you do use yeast, don't you?
I do, yeah, we do use yeast, yeah. So the ones that you're tasting, we use our house yeast, which is similar to a Pilsner yeast. We run it quite hot, which gives some interesting profiles coming through.
Oh, wow. So does it ferment at the same sort of speed as beer, or does it take longer?
Yeah, so the 4% cans take about 7 to 10 days to ferment. So it goes pretty quickly through. And then there's not much aging out after that. So we kind of just can it straight away.
And does it benefit from being kept?
The 4% ones, probably not. There's not much changing there. Some of the stronger wine strength ones, and obviously the barrel aged stuff we do, and some of the more wine type stuff does evolve over time, definitely.
Okay, that sounds good. I've got more questions, but I'm not going to give them all out now.
No, because to be honest, I'm getting thirsty. I want some. We've been talking about it too much. Now I want some.
Now you want some.
Okay, cool. So let's get on to mead number one. Oh, I'm going to have to do
new jingle.
I'm going to have to do new jingles. That's fine. That's fine. We can deal with this. Beer number one. So mead number one is the original, which is the original Wildflower. So do you want to talk us through the sort of, profile of this, what we should be expecting?
Sure. So
and
this
sort of
is
like where this came from.
So this is an evolution, I guess, of the one mead you'll have tasted in 2016, which is at 5.5%. We dropped it down to 4%. Played with the honey bill a bit. So instead of using orange blossom honey, this is now just a richer blend of honeys from around Europe. So it should be quite even. Bit of sweetness there, but it's also we've dried it out a little bit. So the idea is that it's a little bit more sessionable. And a little bit less sweet, so that you can have a few of them. The idea. So this is kind of quite a little bit cidery, maybe in notes. If you're thinking about what does mead taste like, I always describe it as cider, but made out of honeys rather than apples. Honeys made out of honey rather than apples. That's kind of where I'd go with that in terms of flavors.
It is a good description.
I think that pretty much that you've just stolen all my tasting notes. That's good. It is, but you're right. It's got quite. I mean. Even on the nose, it's got quite a bit of cider there. Like, it's surprising that there's no apples involved in this, because it does have that kind of... And when you get the taste, it's really nice, subtle honey flavour. And then everything else feels like a... It's like a combination between dry cider, a really nice, light dry cider, and almost a bit of champagne as well.
Yeah, it's got some really delicate sort of micro bubbles in it. I don't know why the carbonation is always quite delicate on it. Even if you really punch up the forced carbonation. It holds some, I think it might just be towards, to do with the lack of protein structure. I don't know. I don't really know the science. I'm just saying words here. But then the bubbles do feel different.
No, yeah. You're right, because it doesn't retain a head. Even though it is carbonated, the head is gone pretty much as soon as you stop pouring. But you do get that very, very light sort of prickling carbonation when you drink it.
It just brings it to life a little bit. Yeah.
It is. It's so fucking quaffable, though. Like, it's just... And also, like, I wouldn't be surprised if you told me that this was non-alcoholic, because it is so light and just... It's insanely dangerous, because I would smash back 10 of these without thinking.
Yeah. because I think the thing in a lot of people's heads, and I know it was in mine, is that mead is overly sweet, and therefore you could only manage to drink so much of it. But this is nothing like that.
Putting my commercial hat back on, that is one of the reasons why this is designed to be smashable. Because we want people to drink a lot of it, or an appropriately responsible amount of it.
Yes, anyway, a responsible amount.
But not just one. And make it more of a quotidian, everyday drink, rather than I'm in a weird mood, let's have some mead. Like...
It's all like, but that's the thing as well. It is. It's really Moorish to me. Like, it's really, it's not something that you would tire of the taste of very easily. Like,
no, I mean this product particularly. So we've now got this on draft in about 20 places across Southeast London, and I regularly find myself just halfway through a pint without noticing. you know, you just like you've had it, and you're like, oh goodness, that's going quickly. So it is a good product. And I think some of the other products, which we'll try in a second, maybe have a bit more going on, but this one's a really good introduction to what mead can be.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an introduction. It was an introduction to me for what mead could be compared to what I've always assumed, I suppose, what we've been saying. Okay, so in terms of music, I'm curious, actually, Tom, what would you have paired to this, or what style would you have paired to this?
Oh, I'm just trying to think. I would have gone with some like classic 70s pop soft rock crossover.
Okay. I see where you go. Well, it's funny because I was
like the Stranglers, Golden Brown, something like that. Yeah. I don't know. That's I'm just,
you know what?
No particular reason, but that's how it makes me feel. It's a happy drink. Not that that's a particularly happy drink, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, it is about that. I mean, it is about, because we talked about this being very drinkable. It's very sunshiny.
Yeah.
It's very...
very summery.
Summery.
And I think pop is a really good shout. Like, it's funny, actually, because I think that what I see as traditional mead, I would always go down an English folk route. And this doesn't need English folk. This needs some,
don't
like...
Don't say that, because I might have picked English folk for my one.
Nice, but this one needs some light. To me, it needs light pop music. I went slightly more modern. And it's funny, actually, because I straight away went for one artist, Rex Orange County, who I don't know if I've played. I don't think I've played them before. If I have, I definitely haven't played a track like this. But I don't know, are either of you familiar with Rex Orange County's work?
I am familiar.
I'm not.
So he's a British artist.
Is he? No,
yeah.
He is.
He's, and he kind of like blends a bit of like soul, pop, R&B, hip-hop, jazz.
I think of him a bit like Jamie Cullum.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. His new album especially is very Jamie Cullum, but the kids like him more. And it's funny, actually, because... So I'm going to play the song. Actually, yeah, I'll play the song and then we can talk about it afterwards. So... The one that I've chosen to match this is Rex Orange County with Amazing.
definition of shame. I'm sure you'll see my face. Who's gonna save me now? I hope it's you, my babe. Don't change a thing, you are amazing. I can't believe you come and save me. You can stay here, spend every day here. I don't mind. The definition of afraid, and I'm sure you'll see my face. Who's gonna save me now? I hope it's you, my babe. Don't change a thing, you are amazing. I can't believe you come and save me. You can stay here, spend every day, dear. I wouldn't mind. Don't change a thing, you are amazing. I can't believe you've come and saved me. You can stay here, spend every day here. Oh,
I don't mind.
That's alright. Yeah.
That was Rex Orange County with Amazing.
Session Mead, is that Smead?
Smead.
No, that sounds wrong.
It does sound wrong.
Sashid?
No.
No, doesn't sound right either.
Let's get the marketing on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good, pairing, I think. That was very mellow and chilled, and I think it goes well with drinking this and feeling very relaxed.
Summary. Yeah. It's funny, actually. So I played that for my partner after she'd had some, and she was like, yep, that works. But she's like, also try this. And she played me one of the new Harry Styles songs. It works way too well. So I think it's just the current sort of like oeuvre of this kind of soulful bedroom pop.
Yeah.
This is, so basically...
What's bedroom pop?
We've explained what bedroom pop is multiple times on this podcast, Andrew.
Okay. I've got a very bad memory.
It's also usually when you're pissed, to be fair. Yeah. So it's... I think that basically... The youth of today, TikTok. This Gosnells needs to be big on TikTok now.
We're trying, but my dancing just isn't quite convert to TikTok. No, the brewery team have a habit of taking videos, and some of them have made it just putting silly things over the top. So yeah, we do have a TikTok account. Follow us on TikTok.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, of course we do. We're down.
Hey, I was going to say we're down with the kids.
There's nothing worse than saying we're down with the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is it a big team then you've got at Gosnells?
Yeah, thousands. Like you could get off the train and everyone's in these yellow t-shirts. It's like going to a Honda factory or something. No, there are 10 of us at the moment.
Pretty decent.
It's pretty good. Yeah. So we were like coming out of the pandemic in sort of September. There were four or five of us. So we're kind of recovering now. We've moved into a new brewery. We're opening a new tap room. Like things are really sort of pushing forward, which is good.
Where's the new tap room going to be?
Either in Peckham or on the Beer Mile. Ironing some bits out.
Oh, that's very exciting. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, no, it'll be good. We'll invite you down when we eventually have a launch party. I was hoping for a launch party on the summer solstice, but I think that's optimistic. So maybe early July. Early July is what we're aiming for.
Cool.
Brilliant. That sounds good. Alrighty. Well, do you have any other questions before we jump on to beer number two?
Yeah, I've got a few more questions.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so
for your questions, Andrew.
So when I I'm a fan of Untappd, so I get lots of my data and information from Untappd. But so when I was prepping the mead that I've got later on, the hopped mead, and I was checking it in. Yes, it calls it a mead, but it calls it there's a subset of mead called, is it metheglin?
Metheglin. Yes. I once made metheglin for Lucy Worsley, which is repeated every year on Lucy Worsley's Tudor something or other. And there's just me saying metheglin over and over again on the TV. So there's actually there's a TikTok of that, which you can go onto our TikTok and see.
Just you say metheglin?
Yeah, over and over and over again.
Over and over again.
Yeah. Metheglin.
I mean, metheglin does sound like it's something a little bit more illicit. Yeah. I don't know. There's some. Yeah.
So that's essentially metheglin? It's a spiced meat. I don't know whether it's the same in beer. I think beer has much more tightly defined styles. Obviously, mead is it's honey plus X, and whatever the X is, you can give it a name. So hydromel is like a lower alcohol mead. So something like these session meads are kind of hydromels. What's the ones with fruit in? I'm good. They're going to shoot
melomel.
Melomels. Sorry, there you go, Andrew. You know. Yeah, well, melomel.
Melomel got fruit in it.
Rhodomel is got roses or rose hips in. You've got piment, which has got grapes in. You've got I don't know. You've got on Wikipedia. There's about 40 different types.
It's crazy. I had no idea that there was all these sort of subgenres and styles sitting in there.
I'm a little bit cynical as to whether it's just some dude in his bedroom making up names. Oh, sorry, or woman. It could be a woman in her bedroom, but it's more likely to be a man.
It does sound like somebody with a strong neck beard.
Because you don't see these styles around anymore. But they are good for inspiration, right? So we did a rose mead, actually, towards the end of last year. And that was delicious, like with rose petals and rose hips. And actually, it was really good at Christmas. It smelt like something that had come out of Mr. Tumnus's pocket. So super kind of Turkish delighty and that kind of thing. So it does serve as a sort of source of inspiration, even if someone has sat in their bedroom and made them all up. It's a good use for us.
Because we're drinking these 4% ones tonight, but you do like small batches and ones with higher ABV. Because I saw you've got some bottles on your website of the, was it the banana one?
Banana Bochet. Now that is a historical one. So that's where you've caramelized some of the honey before you ferment it. And you get these amazing sort of burnt toffee notes coming through. Ooh. And some more unfermentable sugars. And it's just, that is beautiful. That is one of our favorite. I mean, that's one of the products that we make it and we sell out instantly of that. So it's very, very quick turnaround. And I keep pricing it higher and higher and it keeps going. So it must be doing something right.
I was looking at it. I think I am going to order a bottle or two of that because it just sounds that you've got all the words saying the right things in the description.
That is something that we're particularly proud of. I think like the brewery team, especially, I like to keep them concentrating on more commercial styles that we can just sell to pubs. But they do like to make strong stuff that they enjoy as well. But the Bochet or Bochet, however we're saying that French word, is beautiful just because, you know, it's a traditional mead style. It's a perfect after-dinner drink that pairs well with dessert. It's sweeter, but it's got that crunch of the burnt caramelized notes that just brings it back from being cloying.
Like a brulee.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
I want some now. Okay, well, I know what I'm doing straight after recording, so that's fine. Well, I'm curious, though, are there any particular styles that you or the brewery team, like, would like to make, but it's like, no, commercially, that's suicide. We're not going to go there.
I mean, they have a habit of doing things when I'm not around, so they're just... They'll make it, and then we'll decide whether it goes into a bottle or not. But generally, it all does. I think the mango and Scotch bonnet one, which they made during lockdown, some people absolutely love it. I'm not a fan of chili in drinks. I just don't get it. We had someone in the other day, and she picked it off the shelf and drank the whole bottle and was like, this is the most amazing thing. And I was like, sure. It's very well balanced between the mango and the Scotch bonnet. The Scotch bonnet's beautifully fruity. It is a good drink, but it's a sipper rather than a quaffer.
Mm.
So do you make them that only come on sale at your tap room that never make it on?
Yeah, we do. So I think that basically that small batch program, which you mentioned, we've got about 100 people on our subscriber list who get a set of 4 different cans each month of something new that we've made. And the idea behind that is that we continue the innovation in the brewery. So that is the interesting thing that we all love, is making new things. So that gives an outlet for that. And that also allows different members of the team to sort of step up and try different things, provides new stuff for the tap room, and just gets the creative juices flowing. I think if we were just cranking out the core range all the time, it would be quite soul-destroying. You know, just doing the same beers over and over again. Yeah. You need a bit of the creativity and the art in it. Otherwise, you might as well just be Heineken or someone.
Can you blend mead? Can you have different styles or ages and blend them?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's no rules. That's the beauty of it. You do whatever you want.
I've got so many questions of, can you do this? And so you can blend? Yeah. Can you smoke mead?
I have tried to use smoked honey. So the Boche is, when we caramelise it, they do it over an open fire. So it gets a hint of a lick of smoke. We've tried to smoke honey before. I've also tried to smoke ice/water to then use in the brewing.
That was
less successful. The smoke we're still working on. I think we just don't have quite the fire apparatus that we need.
What about wild? Can you like?
Can you?
To be honest, that's what the rest of this podcast. we'll get to the next rest of the meads later. But how about wild fermentation of mead?
Yeah, so we've done a bit of that. We've just moved sites, and so we're actually. The previous site was so, we had such a dominant yeast strain that if you left anything out, it wouldn't be that wild. It would just be the house yeast. The new one, because we've taken over from another brewery there before, we haven't left anything to go wild because we need to build up the kind of the core yeast and make sure that we're not inoculating anything else. We have done some other ones, mainly using fruits. So using the mead you tasted first, the wildflower, the team put in a load of fresh raspberries into that just left it. So left it to re-ferment on the raspberries using basically a secondary wild fermentation. That was really cool because, I mean, most people think of raspberry, often think of raspberries quite a sweet flavour, you know, like a raspberry candy, whereas this was real sort of dry, quite tart raspberries on top, almost like a sour.
That's what I was getting to. I just wanted to know whether you could do a really nice sour mead, because I can imagine that flavour profile would be
Do a sour mead, but we do it in a slightly different way. And I think this is probably me thinking about how I would make a sour mead and then explaining to the brewery team and being like, go on, crack on with that. So it's made a bit like a kombucha. So we make a super sour base with the SCOBY of lactic, aceto and normal sac, and make a super super sour mead, and then we blend that with a sweeter mead to back it off a bit, so to get that kind of the right level, and that works really well. It's a nice kind of gateway sour.
Yes. Wow. Okay, I'm just getting thirsty again, so I think we need to move on to mead number two,
which is hibiscus mead.
So, mead number two is the hibiscus.
Do you say hibiscus or hibiscus?
Hibiscus?
I'd say hibiscus. Hibiscus.
I wouldn't say hibiscus, because that's weird. Tom, come on, you're the expert.
The hibiscus mead. I would say hibiscus.
Hibiscus, yeah.
Yeah, that's me. You said hibiscus.
Yeah, I said hibiscus. I'm Australian, so that's my excuse. We say everything wrong. It's fine.
I like the smell of that.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
Yeah, so this is my personal favourite, in that it just kind of somehow slakes your thirst at the end of a long day. Worth saying it's pink. So for those, hibiscus is a flower. Ooh. It's got this beautiful kind of dark ruby red colour. So am I doing your job for you guys? I don't want to...
No. Well, you're the one. This is your beer.
And this is my favourite. I like to have a mead in the shower, and this is the mead that I have in the shower.
Shower mead. It's a thing.
I think hibiscus, if you've had it before in beers, it's often just used as a bit of a pink colouring. We have taken it much, much more than that. So we put about 10 kilos of dried flowers in every 1,000 litres. So you get a huge amount of tannins coming out of those hibiscus flowers, these juicy, fruity, kind of jammy notes. Some dryness on the end, the tannins gives you that dryness at the end, and it makes it quite Moorish and kind of juxtaposes maybe some of the sweetness. This one's a touch sweeter than the first one, but the dryness of the tannins help carry it through. That's one of the things we kind of find with mead, is that there's not a lot of tannic structure in the middle. So actually by adding this or hibiscus or say tea in or something else that will then carry that flavour through, it works really well.
Yeah, I wouldn't really know what the flavour of hibiscus was, but it's almost that it's a weird cross between, to me, it's almost like a cross between, as you said, like jam, like strawberry kind of jam with that tannic quality of grape, like,
yeah,
or like fermented grape specifically.
Well, I always think the finish is a bit cranberry like, because you know how when you drink cranberry, it's a little bit dry.
Yeah, no, spot on.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so you've gone for cranberries, right?
Yes. I've been honest, I didn't think about this as much as I probably should have done. CJ Marketing was like, what are you doing? I was like, obviously, it's going to be Juicy by Biggie Smalls, because this is our Juicy one.
See, I get told off for doing that.
Is that what you're actually going for?
That is what I'm actually going for, yeah.
Sweet. Okay, cool. Now you've got to give us the full scientific explanation as to why this should enhance the flavour of the beer.
I think for me, it's that thumping bass line that just kind of, you know, just goes along with the tannin structure. It's all about structure, right? So that's where I'm going with it. That's all I've got on that one.
Very good.
Okay, well, let's without further ado, let's play it, because I'm looking forward to it. I mean, we'll get on to this, but hip hop with beers generally, I'm skeptical. So I'm looking forward to this. So this is. Wait, just get this right. It's Notorious B.I.G. with Juicy, right?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. This album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling from, that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter. And all the niggas in the struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby, baby. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? The ha, you never thought that hip hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the world's trade. Born sinner, the opposite of a winner. Remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner? Piece to Raw G, Brucey B, Kid Capri, Funk Master Flex, Love Bug, Star Ski. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Call a crib, same number, same hood. It's all good. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. I made the change from a common thief to up close and personal with Robin Leach. And I'm far from cheap. I smoke stuff with my peeps all day. Spread love, it's the Brooklyn way. The Moet and Alizé keep me pissy. Girls used to diss me, now they write letters cause they miss me. I never thought it could happen, this rapping stuff. I was too used to packing gats and stuff. Now honeys play me close like butter play toast. From the Mississippi down to the East Coast. Condos in Queens, in dough for weeks. Sold out seats to hear Biggie Small speak. Living life without fear, putting 5 carrots in my baby girl ear. Lunches, brunches, interviews by the pool. Considered a fool cause I dropped out of high school. Stereotypes of a black male misunderstood. And it's still all good, And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. Genesis, when I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this. 50-inch screen, money green, leather sofa. Got 2 rides, a limousine with the chauffeur. Phone bill about 2 G's flat. No need to worry, my accountant handles that. And my whole crew is lounging, celebrating every day. No more public housing. Thinking back on my one-room shack. Now my mom pimps a act with minks on her back. And she loves to show me off, of course. Smiles every time my face is up in the sauce. We used to fuss when the landlord dissed us. No heat, wonder why Christmas missed us. Birthdays was the worst days. Now we sip champagne when we thirsty. Damn right I like the life I live. Cause I went from negative to positive. And it's all. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. Representing B-Town in the house. Junior Mafia, Mad Flavor.
So that was Biggie with Juicy.
Juicy.
Classic track. And so we were talking about it throughout the song anyway, but we'll have to repeat now. That is your standard mode, like gangster rap is your vibe?
Yeah. I mean, as the brewery team was here, I listened to Kanye, the first two Kanye albums on repeat pretty much continuously, especially if I need to do some work, like head down. Tom's got his Kanye on.
Yep. I 100% under. I mean, to get work done though, I don't know. It's a bit too uplifting for me. It's
I need to. I need a bit of uplifting.
Not Dark Twisted Fantasy. Not 808s and Heartbreaks.
No, it's too distracting. Too distracting. See this amazing. I'll give it a plug. Have you heard of Pitch Black Playback? I can't say that. Basically, where they play a whole album in its entirety in the dark. In a cinema with a really good sound system in the cinema, you give you a little mask and you go in and they just play the entire album. So I listened to 808 and Heartbreaks the other day. It was great. It was really amazing to be sort of mindful and present and listen to a whole bad album, which is a really cool concept.
I'd kind of enjoy that, but with College Dropout. Like, just because it's not in any way an intellectual album, but I feel like it's also far too underappreciated as a work of pure genius before he went
and they are
way
albums,
too far
right?
up his
they
own
are
off.
They are like albums to be listened to as albums.
But okay, so but that is hip hop is your standard oeuvre.
Yeah, I mean, not that I wouldn't claim I'm an expert, but yeah, that is generally what you find me listening to. That and I mean, I do like a lot of UK stuff as well, so a bit of grime. There's this group called The Manor who are from South East London who. Go and check them out because some of the lines in there are just genius. Like, especially if you're from a specific part of South East London, they're hilarious.
I'm gonna have to put that on the
list.
I'm
South West London.
Oh,
South East London can suck my.
wow. Okay, because I mean, it's one of these things. We did a hip hop episode way back in the day, and we've been meaning to do another one because. I do feel like hip-hop is one of those things that doesn't usually go well with beer. In saying that, I now realise that I just need to do it with fruitier beer, because that weirdly worked way too well.
Yeah, I think it did. It is weird. I think you're right, it's a weird combo, but I think it does kind of work.
So music in the brewery, you were saying that you don't really have any say over what goes on. But everybody
makes me sound like I just kind of, my name's on the door and everyone just runs about doing whatever they want. But no, as in like, whoever's working the brewery gets to choose what's on the brewery.
If you're driving the car, you get to choose the music.
Yeah, exactly. No. It's not like the voice from above being like, oh, I've got to listen to the Kanye album again. So James, who does a lot of the work in the brewery, is in a band, in a couple of bands actually, King Cruel, is the main artist.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
So he's the bassist for King Cruel. So he's a fantastic musician. Will, who's the headbrewer, has dabbled. Well, he used to play music quite a lot and still does. So yeah, there's a fair amount of musical talent floating around. And obviously, all our bar staff are James's music mates. So we kind of, there's like a link back in there.
Yeah. But so does that mean that, you know, if any music was going to be infused into the mead, it's probably more in the indie oeuvre than...
Yeah, I think that's definitely true.
I mean, I don't taste much metal in there. That's the...
No, there isn't a huge amount of metal in there.
Although, I mean,
dark metal mead
is definitely a thing that should happen. Yeah.
Maybe we should take a different approach to the next flavour development of just what music should... Let's make something to go with a song rather than the other way around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think definitely, like, get some Norwegians in, get them to bring some weird ingredients with them, and see if you can make a proper post-black metal.
We did do one ages ago for... who was the band? They're a Viking, Norwegian Viking rock band, which is a whole genre which I never knew about. What? We made them a mead for their launch party or something.
Okay. I like it. Norwegian metal mead.
That is amazing. So, shall we get on to mead number three?
Mead number three. Yeah, why not? Because it's my mead. You're going to hate it.
I'm going to hate your song choice, definitely. I'm probably going to... if tonight is anything to go by, I'm probably going to really enjoy the alcoholic beverage that we're having.
Yeah, number three. Oh, I had one question before we pour this out.
Okay.
So this is the hopped mead.
Yes.
It's 4%. I know when I was prepping this, I sort of poured a bit out, and it's the lovely clear, very pale straw colour.
Yeah.
But then I tipped the rest of the can out, and there's a little bit of a haze in the bottom of the can.
Yeah, so that'll be...
So is that in... should you pour that out? Or
yeah, so I mean, I quite like it. It's fine. It's just a bit of yeast and other trub that's settled out. We're not really... So one of the things when you go to like mead competitions around the world, because as you probably gathered, mead is a really broad church, so the flavours in it are huge. So one of the things they always talk about is clarity, and that's one of the things you're judged on at mead competitions. I don't really care about clarity. I don't think it's a good indication of quality. So we're kind of, it gives it a bit more flavour, a bit more mouthfeel at 4%. The yeast also autolysises over a bit of time, gives a bit of creaminess. I think it adds to it rather than detracts.
Cool. Okay, I wasn't quite sure if I was meant to be drinking it as the full, everything in the can goes in the glass, or everything, or you're meant to leave a little bit of dreg. But that was...
Well, I mean, it's like drinking Coopers in Australia, where they tell you to roll... It's the only beer I know that has a lot of sediment that they tell you to roll the bottle before pouring to spread the sediment out. Okay, so mead number three is the hopped sparkling mead, as Andrew mentioned before, which is yours.
Yeah. So in terms of being hopped, is it the same hops every time you make this?
We mainly use... I mean, it's a blend, but the predominant one is US Cascade in there. Okay. So we put some in the boil for a bit of bitterness, but then a lot go in the fermenter as well. So is it dry hopping? Don't know, Basically, we ferment on top of the hops. So to get those marriage of flavours, and that's something we like to do with most of the things we do, we like to ferment on top of the flavours. Just gets a much more harmonious result rather than sort of a two-tone flavour, which you can sometimes achieve.
Because I was going to say, have you experimented with a whole range of different hops? Because I'm guessing, especially if you're using a lot of the New World American hops, like, you could potentially... Do the same things happen that would happen with beer?
Yeah,
that would happen,
exactly. So yeah, and actually,
you get the same characteristics.
Yeah, and I was pushing, I mean, if we could afford it, just to do one of those like dank juice bombs, but made out of honey. And
you got my next question already.
see whether we could become a hype brewery overnight, but we haven't done that yet.
I'm waiting for the Sabro Mead. It needs to happen.
It's got to happen.
I mean, Mosaic is now like a little bit of an old hat one. So I think if you get a bit of Mosaic, bit of Galaxy, you could get a real nice pine resinous with a bit of dankness in there. I'm just saying, like, Juice Bomb Mead would definitely be top of my untapped list.
Yeah, I think we just need to do a collab with someone else. Like a juice bomb collab. That's what we need to make happen.
We'll hook you up. I reckon Gosnells and Verdant, maybe. Yeah.
We know them.
This is basically, it looks very similar to the first one we had. It's that very pale.
It should be a different liquid inside, though.
Yes.
Yeah. Unless we really mess things up this month.
No. So when I was prepping this, so I was smelling that, and it's interesting when you mentioned on the first mead sort of the cider quality, the apple quality in it. I get that. I also get pears. I get melon.
Yeah.
I get those sorts of fruit on the aroma.
Do you get any elderflower or any kind of floral notes? Because that's the one we always get.
Yep.
Yeah, 100%. It's very elderflower, very floral. But I definitely get that, the pear and the melon forward. Yeah. It's I always like to see my not looking at it, but like it's got a very sort of light yellow, white kind of flavour to it.
Is this your synesthesia coming through?
Yeah, 100%. It's not like a rich orange or a rich yellow. It's not got that tropicalness to it. It's very light honeydew.
Oh, honeydew's a good quality. Yeah,
that's a good
flavour descriptor.
In fact, it's very dew-tip. You know, it's very. I want like fairies dancing on dew-tipped grass. That's what this tastes like.
Delicate, I think. It's not a smash you in the face with hops. It's quite hopefully well-balanced.
Well, it's funny. It's like if you compare this to that original one where you could, you know, responsibly and in moderation smash those back one after the other. This, I think, demands a little bit more attention. And it's it makes you stop and pay attention to it just slightly more.
I'd still smash it back.
I
think this is still, again, incredibly, incredibly drinkable.
But it's definitely got like a more interesting flavour profile to it.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see what you've gone for music for this one.
Well, of course, we talked about mead.
Bees.
I looked up every band that references bees in its title. Especially the Bees.
I was going to say, it's not... isn't there... Oh, no, I'm thinking of pigs.
Yeah, that's pigs.
Yeah, if there was a bees.
And then any band that references honey.
But, I mean, songs that reference honey. Yeah. I mean, you know, you could do... I don't even know what the song's called. What's the Oh Honey Honey?
Kiss Me Honey.
That one.
I mean ABBA's Honey Honey.
No. The like, 60s girl group.
Okay.
Oh, honey, honey,
the Archies.
Wouldn't work with this.
Wouldn't work. Then I thought mead, quintessentially English,
Lindisfarne,
pastoral, folky,
Kate Rosby,
something like that.
Oh, yeah, of
I went down that route.
But and please tell me you didn't go there.
No, I didn't go there.
Good.
So then I thought, light, delicate.
Sorry, Tom. By the way, Andrew's going to take you through the entire 3-hour journey of how he got to his song.
Oh no, it's fine. I'm enjoying it. I'm learning more and more about music. That's why I enjoy.
To be honest, the song I'm going to pick, I probably came to very, very quickly, and then I danced around trying different things. Let's go with it. So I don't think we've played this song before, but you'll tell me if we did.
Yeah.
Have we played Minnie Riperton before?
Yes.
Have we?
Yes.
Have we?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
All right, I won't pick that one again then.
It is. Yeah, we 100% have played Minnie Riperton.
Okay, what, Les Fleurs?
Yeah.
All right, I'm not picking that then. Okay, so instead... if anyone wants to buy this mead and listen to Les Fleurs by Minnie Riperton, I think it works really well. But all right, then let's go.
Who knows? You may have actually paired it to the other hopped Gosnells mead that we've done before.
That would be good. That would be
That would be weird. But if you say we've done that before, I won't choose it. So instead, we'll do a song by the Leisure Society.
Oh, okay.
And it's called Cars because it is their version of Gary Numan's Cars.
Okay, sure thing. Okay, before I rip it to shreds, let's play The Leisure Society with Cards. Thank you.
car. I feel safest of all. I can lock all my doors. It's the only way to live in cars. Here in my car, I can only receive. I can listen to you. Keeps me stable for days in cars.
So that was, I've forgotten already.
Leisure Society doing their version of Cars.
But do you know why I forgot already?
Why? Because you didn't like it.
It's fucking boring.
It's boring, it's light and delicate.
And it's one of the problems that I have with it as a match for this beer. It just did not bring out any characteristics in the beer. In fact, I think, now wait, let me just try. Yes, the mead tastes interesting again, because that song isn't playing.
You're a terrible person.
I don't know, Tom, am I being too harsh?
I'm just being diplomatic here. It was a very long song.
It was long. I think it is a bit too long.
Mm. Not the biggest fan of that choice, Andrew.
Okay, very good. Well, if
it's been a while since I've shat on your choices.
If you'd let me play the original tune.
Bit of Minnie Riperton. Well, it's not my fault that you're just going over old choices.
Okay.
But I'm curious now as well, because we already got what you would have played for mine. What would you have matched for this one, Tom? On the fly.
On the fly.
It's very hard to do on the fly.
Because you were talking about College Dropout, like something like Family Business, something nice and light, and sort of fun, has a bit of character to it, that, you know, would perfectly match this. But not something that is just bland, almost English folk. A song about a pigeon would have been better, Andrew.
Yeah, they always are. So, I have a few. I want to know what's next for Gosnells. You talked about the new tap room. You talked about the new brewery. Is there anything else on the horizon?
Just global domination. Just, I think that's always the aim of everything, isn't it? No, yeah, I think we just...
Nation.
We nation. No, we want to get that first one, the Wildflower Mead, into pubs as a normal cider alternative. So not as a weird, oh, look at me, I'm drinking mead, aren't I cool? Just, that tastes great, I'm going to smash some of those. That's kind of where we see it going. So I think, and that's not to say we're going to lose all the other exciting, crazy things we do, but I think just getting something that, establishing mead in the UK certainly is a credible category, is really important for kind of Gosnells and for hopefully for the rest of the industry as well.
So if you're trying to get space on the bar, is that where you see your natural competitors, the cider tap?
Yeah, so I think we kind of naturally see it as a, you're looking at taking off a Record Leg or an Old Moot or a Strongbow Dark Fruits or any of those kind of super boring mass-produced brands. That's kind of who we're going after. Because I think cider as a category, there's loads of really exciting stuff, like the stuff that Tom Oliver's doing, stuff that Nightingale Cider. There's loads of cool stuff going on. But it's just the big boys have got such a stranglehold on everything.
Yeah.
And they pump out such shit innovation constantly. Like, I got a press release the other day from the grocer, or they wanted to comment on Strongbow's new innovative Strongbow Dark Fruits Low Calorie, which is essentially a... a hard seltzer made out of cider. And you're just you're just like, God, guys, come on. Can you not come up with something? Like, see, anything?
The thing is that I, you know, grew up in Australia where we had the choice of Strongbow Dry Original or Sweet. So we at least had that. But it's like, I can't believe how bland all cider seems to have got it, commercially, like in the big commercial big boy space, has got, where it's like, you don't really even notice much of a difference between them, apart from Dark Fruits, which is just, you know...
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's some of the family brewers, like Thatcher's and Westerns, they do a good range. And actually, I don't know if you've seen this, it's really geeky, but Thatcher's have got this amazing thing on the bar, and this is a classic, I think this is a Juicy Wheeze, but it's Thatcher's, whatever their main line is, but with... You know how a Coke machine works with the post-mix?
Yeah.
With that, but with four or five different fruit cordials. So you can just, like, it pulls it through. So instead of paying made wine duty, which is all fruit cider, they pay cider duty and they mix it at the point. And it's genius. And, like, Martin Thatcher is an absolute genius. And I can't speak highly enough of that.
Wow. I'm looking forward to... I mean, are you aiming for... You know, we've got the Great British Beer Festival, but, I mean, I want the Great British Mead Festival. GBMF
That's it. I think we've spoken about doing a mead festival on a tiny scale, and I think once we get the tap room, that'll be the first place it'll be. Maybe not this summer, maybe towards the end of the year. But I think it would be nice to just...
Tap room this year, Olympia next year, right?
Exactly. And then lots of... Instead of tankards on your belt, it'd be loads of horns, right? Loads of...
Those horn cups. I was at a Camera Beer Festival on Friday, and there was legitimately someone walking around drinking from a horned cup.
Jesus.
And it's just like, yeah, mate, what is this all about?
And then finally, is the plan to do some more collabs?
So we absolutely love a collaboration, mainly because honey seems to scare loads of people. Apart from us. So we can kind of really bring that. So we've got some more stuff. We did some stuff with Cloudwater last year. So there's some more stuff coming out with them. We're doing something with, which I'm quite excited about, with Portobello Brewing, who are doing a cask. Like, the brief was make it like Waggle Dance. So that's kind of what we're doing there. More of a honey beer, which is cool. And then we've got, a fair number of other things in the pipeline, but if anyone's listening to this and they want to get sticky, then give us a call.
Love that as a punchline.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm up all night to get sticky.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, I'm really looking forward to the West Coast Mead collab, because I think overly bitter 150 IBU honey mead would just...
Probably at like 9% in a 500ml can.
Yeah, yeah, I think it'd be amazing. Yeah.
But that would work. Come on, because a good West Coast is a good balance.
Yeah.
A good balance. So instead of your malt there to balance the hops, have honey to balance the hops.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that we always really wanted to do, and this is maybe we'd be a bit cheeky, but you know how you got those fruited beers that keep exploding?
Yeah, yes.
So we love a bit of pasteurisation at Gosnells. We're good at it. So we would like to collab with anyone on a fruited beer that doesn't explode.
So finally, before we wrap up, I'm curious, like, especially as somebody who is, you know, you're in the beer scene, but sort of slightly outside of it. If there's something that...
We're definitely outside of it. We're definitely not the cool kids. We don't get invited to any of the parties, Luke. I see them on Instagram.
Well, I mean,
I just sit here crying into my mead.
If you could look at the entire industry and like change one thing with a magic wand, what would it be to make everything better?
Duty. Hey, just banging my duty drum. No, but seriously, I mean, I would. I think the government...
It is unfair at the moment.
It is unfair. And I think actually, Tories, I don't have very many things to say about them, but they are doing something about duty, which is a good thing.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
And it is going to bring things... like, so, for example, the small producers relief, they're rolling that across all categories. So it won't just be beer anymore. That's great, because it's worked really well for beer, and it should, you know, for small mead makers or small cider makers, that should also help. So I think that will help. And I think craft beer is often quite a cool scene. It's quite scene-y at times. and as you may have gathered, I'm not. So
really?
So, I know. I've got the haircut, but
You're in Peckham.
Come on, mate.
I know. But I think there's I think our post pandemic has definitely been better. I would say everyone's been, you know, the people that are still here realise like there is a bit of a community there, and we do need to pull together a bit. And yeah, it's been really nice. And I think actually, you know, it's been one of the good things that's come out of the pandemic is people working together and being helpful. I know we've been in some tight spots on occasion and been really grateful to the help and support we've got, and that's really nice to see.
Yeah, the positive.
That's great. What a nice positive note to end the podcast on, Andrew.
Exactly.
That's not usual for us, is it?
It's not at all. Usually it's just drunken ramblings, but... thank you so much for joining us, Tom. It was an absolute pleasure.
No, thanks for having me. Anytime. And I'll try and send you some stronger stuff towards Christmas.
Oh.
And then you
I think we are going to jump online. I'm definitely going to get some of that banana.
Oh, yeah.
That won't be around by Christmas. That'll be new. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's, and I'm looking forward to the tap room opening.
Definitely.
Because, you know, that invite, if that doesn't arrive in the mail, mate, I'm banging on your door, your trendy door.
It'll be quite sceney though, so I'm not sure you'll fit in, guys.
He's got dungarees on.
Come on, dungarees, bleached hair, and you know, I don't know. I need to get my earrings on, my painted nails, but not quite there.
No, but thank you so much. That's been brilliant. I learned a load.
I learned loads. Now every single guest that we get for the rest of the season, I'm just going to be like, so have you thought of collabing with a meadery?
Metheglin.
Or would you like to get sticky?
Metheglin.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Andrew, what have we got coming up for the rest? I don't even know what we've got coming up next.
Well, hopefully, if it works off, we've got Echo Brewery next.
Hey! Which Echo I'm looking Brewery, forward to. Which would be great.
Helena and Anthony.
Yep, that'll be fantastic. Looking forward. We've already done one of their beers before, so I'm looking forward to having some more.
Cool. They are tasty beers.
And then, yeah, if everybody can go and follow us on all the social media, I'm sure you already do, but we're Rhythm Brewers UK.
Well, you say all, we're not on TikTok.
We're not on TikTok.
What are we doing? We're not on TikTok.
We're not on TikTok.
Have you seen how old we are, Tom?
I mean, you're about the same age as me, and this hasn't stopped me.
I've got a kid. I could get him onto it. But, yes. But we're Rhythm Brews UK everywhere. If you could also go and jump on and give us a review on the podcast.
Yes.
Podcast platform of choice that you have. Tom, if people wanted to find Gosnells, if people want to buy Gosnells, where's the best place that they can buy the Gosnells?
Gosnells.co.uk. That's easy. Probably the best. And then Hector in our office will package it up with a nice little smiley face. And then on the socials, it's Gosnells Mead, at Gosnells Mead, everywhere.
Best way to do it. And a big thank you to Morkan, who provided our theme tune, I Can Hew, from the album The Ties That Bind.
That's it.
I think that's it. I'm good at remembering the end bits now because I'm not getting too pissed.
Do you know when to stop?
Don't know when to stop, no. But that's what editing's for.
Let's stop now.
Yeah, so, okay, so without further ado, see you in episode 3. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, boys, I can knock it out. I can hear.